Well, this morning I do want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 1. We'll be continuing in our series here. This is our second message in this book. We'll head into the next several verses of Philippians. And there's a thought that as people work together, whether it be on a project or in some sort of mission, it often unites people in a way that creates a deep bond, a deep partnership. I think of this past February in 2020 when Emmanuel Church sent a team of people on a missions trip to Cambodia to go serve there. And I think of how Christians get to experience this bond in a deeper way than even the world can think about. So I was part of that trip. They got to go to Cambodia in February, and we were sent to Poipet, where Chris and Kent Copeland serve there as international workers, and it was a great time to see them and what they do and encourage them. You guys sent two suitcases full of goodies with us for them to just encourage them and bless their family. But we went out to a small village called Soria, where there was a small church and a pastor named Pastor Kung. And they had been in that area for almost 20 years and never had a church building. They met in the pastor's home. And so we went and helped build this church building. Another group had gone before us and gotten the structure off the ground, and we were helping finish that work. And with the week that we spent with them, working side by side, eating lunch together, praying together, sharing testimonies together, there was a bond that formed between us of these people from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who flew halfway around the world to spend some time with the people of Soria, Cambodia. It was amazing. I'll never forget Pastor Kung and his son Tua, who had lived a hard life, made some choices, but came back and was living in a little hut behind his parents' home, and he needed encouragement. And we'll never forget the faces, the names. And by the end of that week, we had huddled together to pray for each other, and there were tears shed as we said goodbye. They didn't want us to leave. We didn't want to leave. And we thought of how we may never see each other again until heaven. But there's this bond between us. And that's what can happen in Christ. When people love Jesus, they're bonded by their faith in him, and they serve together in the kingdom. It can happen in Cambodia. It can happen here in the United States. It's what we're designed to experience as believers in Christ. It can happen in Emmanuel Church, and it does happen. And we're going to see that in the scriptures today as the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippian church. And there's this personal, affectionate bond that's just so evident in what we're about to read. And let's let that be an example to us today and challenge us as to what is our bond like with the Christians around us, and particularly in our own church. Do we have this kind of love and affection between us? So let's go to Philippians 1, starting in verse 3. It says, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Well, in these verses that we read, I see four kind of key elements to this bond that the Apostle Paul is expressing as he writes to this young church in Philippi, the church that he had planted 10 years ago. And so we're going to walk through those four parts of this, and they are prayer and partnership, assurance, and affection. PPAA. Prayer, partnership, assurance, and affection. The first piece of this is prayer. Paul expresses that he's been praying for the Philippians. Every time, it says, every time I remember you, I'm thanking God for you. And in all my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy. That's a pretty incredible statement that Paul is praying for these Philippian people. And you have to understand that Paul is writing this letter from prison. He's in Rome, in a prison. He's actually physically chained to a Roman guard. Now, he has some freedoms. It's not. Don't think of a jail cell like here in the United States where there's this long row of prison cells and there's a prison bars and there's one or two people per jail cell. No, this is more of like a house arrest. Paul's not really provided with a whole lot of supplies, but and he's chained to a Roman guard, but he can have people that come to visit him and bring him supplies, and he can send letters and write letters, which is what he's doing here. He doesn't have freedoms of just being able to go where he wants, but he's in jail, and he's writing to them that I pray for you guys all the time. Of all the ministries he could have for them, prayer was the top of his list. He couldn't be out there like really with them and sharing the gospel with them, visiting them, but he could pray for them. Some of you can relate that maybe you're not able to do ministry like you used to do, or because of COVID, things are limited. Prayer is always a ministry we can have for people. Paul was also able to write a letter to them, which was another great ministry that he had to encourage them and teach them in the faith. And that's another thing we can do. Even when we're limited, we can write letters or emails to people. But he does all this with joy. It's one of the curious mentions here in this verse. And joy is a theme all through the book of Philippians. But here's the first mention of it, that he prays for them, always prays for them with joy. One of the commentaries I read said that Paul is the happiest man in Rome. And it's kind of ironic because here there's this, the capital of the Roman Empire. It's the place that has where people are chasing after power and politics and pleasure for their joy. And yet Paul is in a prison cell and he's, biblically speaking, the happiest man in all of Rome. Why? Not because he can have all those things that the world can afford. No, because he has Christ and he has a fulfillment that he's got a gospel partnership with people around the world, including in the city of Philippi, and he knows that they're walking with Christ, and it's his joy to write to them and pray for them. It's pretty amazing. Now, his joy for the Philippians didn't come because Philippi was a perfect church. They really weren't. They had their warts among them, and over in chapter 4, we see that Paul is writing to these two prominent women in the church who are having an argument with each other. It's kind of an ongoing disagreement they had, and he's saying, hey, will you guys agree with one another in the Lord? It's Euodia and Syntyche. We'll see that when we get there in chapter 4. But even still, in spite of that, he's saying, I thank God for all of you, and I always pray with joy for all of you. And this is really challenging to me, and I guess it would be for you as well. This idea of, do we pray for one another? Is this a ministry that we have for one another? And do we pray with joy for one another? We're invited to follow the example of the Apostle Paul and have that kind of ministry to one another. You know, as a pastor of this church, I do take time to pray for you. I pray for God to grow us and to keep us on mission. And I pray when there are specific needs in your lives. In fact, when we get the prayer requests on email, I try to be very intentional to pray for you as those come out. And if you're not on our email prayer list, I encourage you to contact the church office and get on that. It's a great way to be able to keep up with what's going on in others' lives and be able to pray for them. But I was impressed this last fall when my wife, Lisette, decided that she was going to, she was kind of feeling disconnected from the church with COVID and all, and feeling like she's not seeing everybody. She said, I'm going to just pray through the directory. And so she took the church directory and went through it from A to Z, went through every family, every name, and spent time in the mornings just specifically praying name by name. And it took her a couple weeks to get through everybody. But it was a great example to me. Do you pray for our church in any specific or dedicated kind of way? It's a good discipline for us to deepen our love and bond together as a church. See, when we pray for one another, you develop that kind of affection. And if there are people that you're struggling with in the church, because Emmanuel Church has warts too, it's really hard to stay upset at somebody or be frustrated with somebody when you take time to pray for them. God just has a way of changing our hearts when we do that. Or if you feel like you're distanced from people or not really understanding where people are at, pray for them, and God will do something in your heart that changes you as you pray. And so I want to just challenge you this week, as we're not able to be meeting together in person, to maybe do that same idea. Grab the directory, or just think of a list of names of people as the Holy Spirit would prompt you, and pray for some people. I'm not trying to guilt you into praying through, you know, some crazy long list or through the whole directory, unless the Lord would lead you to do that. But take time this week to specifically pray for some people in our church. Pray for their needs. Pray for their spiritual growth. If you know anything of their story, what's going on, pray for those specific things that you can think of in their lives. And as we do that, I think the Lord will just strengthen the bonds between us all, as we see this example here in Philippians, to follow that as well. That we would have joy in the relationships we have, even though we can't be together in person. Will you take that challenge this week? I'll come back to that in a little bit later on in this message, but let me plant that idea here of prayer as part of our partnership together. Well, the second point in these verses is the word partnership that we see. It comes in verse 5. Paul said that he's praying for them because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The word partnership here is actually the Greek word koinonia. Maybe you've heard that word before. I first heard that word when I was in high school, and my church that I grew up in was creating a small group ministry, and they called them koinonia groups as a way of identifying that it's about fellowship. It's about relationships that you're going to get together and have koinonia. Well, that was a new word to me then, and I've heard it before after that in scriptures. But here in Philippians 1, it has a more meaning than just about fellowship and relationships. It actually gets into the idea of partnership, that we have a common mission in Christ, that our relationships get rooted into that mission, that we're in the trenches together to see God's kingdom advance. And Paul says, you guys are in partnership with me, koinonia. And see, there's history between Paul and the Philippians in this. Not only has Paul prayed for them, as we see, and I'm sure the Philippians have been praying for Paul, but the Philippians had actually physically stepped up and helped Paul in his ministry. Help him with basic needs, help him to go forward so the gospel could get to more places. Turn with me over to chapter 4 in Philippians. Look at starting in verse 14. He says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need." That's a great couple of verses where Paul's just commending them for the time when he had first gone to them in his second missionary journey. He spent 3 months with them. He ended up going on to the next town in Thessalonica. And when Paul was there, he had some needs to be able to continue his ministry. And the Philippian church sent him help again and again so that he could continue on in his ministry. He said, "No other church helped me like that, but you guys, you stepped up. And you made this happen." That illustrates the partnership they had right from the beginning. Now, we can see this partnership continued on. We know that in Paul's third missionary journey, he went through a circuit of all these churches that he had already planted, and he was revisiting them and strengthening their faith. He went to Philippi twice during that time. And he was collecting, as one other piece to his trip there, collecting an offering that he was going to bring to Jerusalem. There were Christians in Jerusalem who were being severely persecuted for their faith and becoming very poor. And so Paul wanted to bring this offering from all these churches to Jerusalem to help them out. It's kind of a real benevolent offering. Well, in 2 Corinthians 8, we read that Paul is commending the Philippians for their sacrifice that they gave out of poverty. They gave a lot so that this offering could come to Jerusalem. And why is he mentioning that in the letter to the Corinthians? Well, he's using the Philippians as this example of how they excelled in the grace of giving. He's holding them up as an example, saying, if you want to know how to give, look at the church in Philippi. Those guys get it. They had this understanding of partnership. Let me show you one more example. It's going back to chapter 4 here in Philippians, picking up in verse 18. He says, I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Go with me over to chapter 2 real quick and looking at verse 25. It gets more specific. It says, but I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. What this is getting at is that right as Paul is writing this letter in prison in Rome, the Philippians had sent, maybe a couple of months prior or a couple of weeks prior, had sent Epaphroditus to Rome. He got on a ship and sailed hundreds of miles through the Mediterranean Sea to get to Rome and brought with him a gift and of financial help and just to be there to encourage Paul, sending the love from the Philippian church to him. The Philippians cared about Paul that much, they sent a guy named Epaphroditus to go and help out Paul. That's the kind of partnership, a skin in the game kind of partnership that they had together. The Philippians saw the bigger picture of what was at stake, that the gospel needed to get to all parts of the world, and that Paul needed their support to be able to continue on for that. What does that look like for us today as we consider this idea of partnership, koinonia? Well, there's a lot that we can band together to do as a church. And I want to commend you as a church on one specific thing and then challenge you in another way. I want to commend you in this idea of giving, since it's something that was brought up here in this letter to the Philippians. You all at Emmanuel Church have been generous and sacrificial in your giving. We ended this past year of 2020, $30,000 over in our general fund giving than what was budgeted. That's an increase from the year before. It's a very generous kind of giving from you during a year of a pandemic. I mean, it's kind of staggering. I hear of other churches that are having to make cuts. They don't have the income they need to sustain their ministry, and people are being let go, and they're trimming back all kinds of things. And you guys gave above and beyond. Thank you. We're able to continue forward. We were able to launch out in intercultural ministries and to bring El Camino Church under our umbrella of Emmanuel Church and have Emmanuel Español and continue to provide ministries to people virtually and in person and all the creative things we've had to do this year because of your giving. Thank you. Over $100,000 was given to the Great Commission Fund last year. During a pandemic, our missions giving didn't drop. It stayed up at the level where we've been for the last several years. Thank you for that. Partnering together to see the gospel go forward to all parts of the world. But beyond that, I want to challenge you that every time that we partner together to do ministry, we're developing that sense of koinonia, the partnership of advancing the gospel together. So I'm thinking of how we did the outreach in October, the Trunk or Treat event that reached out to hundreds of our community members. That was an awesome example of koinonia. It's great to see everybody out there at that event and the creativity everyone had, the enthusiasm we had, and we really got to touched the lives of hundreds of people that I think planted gospel seeds in their lives. Whenever we help invest in the next generation, to our youth and to our kids, and Awana and Bible Adventures and our youth group, that's koinonia, working together to see the next generation reached up. Every time we send a missions trip to go to Uruguay or to Cambodia or to Portugal, we're doing that. I got my Uruguay mug here. I have not been to Uruguay, but that's the only mug I have. Maybe I need to have another one for next week. Hint, hint, if anyone wants to supply one of those. It's coming in handy with some hot water today because of my scratchy throat. Anyways, when we do that, we're working together to see the gospel go forward. You know, as I was talking about going to Cambodia just last year, it was that kind of example. And the bond gets formed between us. And serving together is part of the design that Jesus has for us. He's the head of the church and we're his body. And as we work together, there's that bond where we see Christ working in us and through us. So don't be hesitant to jump in and get involved in ministry. And you might be wondering, what can I do right now during COVID? Well, there's plenty of things that you can do. I mentioned about prayer earlier. That's one thing we can do. What about taking it a step further? What if, as God lays people on your heart that you've prayed for, that you take a chance to reach out to them and ask them how they're doing? Jot them an email or call them on the phone. Or if you know someone who's in need, you know, bring something by their house. Find ways to minister to each other, even right now. COVID doesn't stop the body of Christ. It only changes the way that we do things. The mission is still the same. We still have Christ in us. And we can serve in ways that continue to further the kingdom of God together. Well, the next section we see here is assurance. And this is probably my favorite part of these verses because of the incredible promise that we get here in verse 6. It's a promise to us that actually probably many of you have grabbed onto in your life. I'm going to read it for you. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I know for me, as I was a teenager and I began to study the Bible for myself, really for the first time, I remember in my devotional book coming across this verse and going, wow, okay, I need that. It kind of gets at a core fear that I had, and maybe you can relate to this, where here I was wanting to really commit my life to Christ and grow in Christ, but I feared that I wouldn't have what it takes to persevere, to last as a Christian, and to keep living for the Lord. That, yeah, I know my mistakes. I know I had made a lot of mistakes as a teenager, and I just, looking at myself, didn't think I had what it takes to last all those years in Christ. But then you come to a verse like this, and it says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Oh, that's so good to hear. It relieved a lot of my fears. And here's the logic that goes with this. That you can't put your trust in yourself. Your trust has to be in God if you're ever going to make it, if you're ever going to go forward. See, if he started the work in us, he's invested. He's going to see it through to the end. In other words, when you look back at the story of how you ever found Christ in the first place, God's fingerprints were all over it. Whether you were born into a Christian family or whether you found Christ along the way sometime, he arranged the circumstances that you would hear about Christ. And then he helped you to understand the gospel. And he convicted you of your sin to know that you needed Jesus. And then he helped open your heart to be able to trust him. God was involved in the whole process. And so if he started all of that and has walked with you up to this point, he's not going to just abandon us and let us go off the rails. He is invested. It makes me think about when I was finishing up seminary 18 years ago now, a long time ago, and I had just completed all of the in-class work of a three-year seminary degree, a grueling and long process. And my wife and I had just moved from Chicago, where I did all that study, to Ohio, where I began my first ministry experience. And the only thing I had left to finish my degree was to do a practical ministry assignment that was in a cross-cultural setting. And then I had to graduate. Like, that was it. But we had just moved. We had an infant son who was like 6 weeks old. I had a whole new ministry that I was learning with new people and all this change in my life. And I was not going to put off that cross-cultural ministry credit that I had to take. I was like, I'm getting this done now. And so I found a church nearby in the city of Akron. It was about 15 minutes away. And this church had a Friday night dinner for international students at the local university that would come to the church for dinner and discussion, and they could just meet other Christians and be exposed to the gospel that way. And so I got involved with it and helped with the dinner and did discussions with people and made relationships for like 12 weeks in a row. I would go out every Friday night for several hours away from my wife and my young son, and it was on my day off from church. And so, you know, just a big commitment to do that. And it turned out to be a great time. But I was invested. I wasn't going to not see this thing through. I wanted to finish. And then graduation time came, and I wasn't going to let them just mail a piece of paper from Chicago to Ohio. I wanted to go and walk across that stage. I had put in blood, sweat, and tears, and so had Lisette, who helped put me through school. So we drove out to Chicago, and I walked across that stage, and I got the diploma. The work I had started, I was going to finish. God feels that same way about us. The work he began in us, he wants to carry it through until completion. And he loves us, and he has saved us, and we are his people. He's invested in us. The good work that he started, he's going to carry on to completion. Yes, we have to keep walking with Christ and keep living out our faith as we go along, choosing to follow Jesus. But he's constantly pulling us along in that. I mean, he's doing things like reminding us of himself, convicting us of sin, speaking us to us through his word, helping us to grow. He's involved in every aspect of our growth as a Christian. That's what he did for the Philippians, and that's what he does for us. And so if you carry a fear of whether you'll be able to make it, let me encourage you to do this. Put your hope in Christ. Put your faith in even in the promise here from his word that he who began the good work in you will be faithful to carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, which means either the day you die or the day that Jesus comes back. He's going to see us through until the end. Let's get to the last part here, and that's affection. That's verses 7 and 8. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about you. And you start to hear the emotion and the thick feelings that Paul had for this church. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains, which he is right now in prison, or I'm out defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. It's probably one of the most emotional couple of verses in all of Scripture where Paul just opens up his heart and shares this with him. And one of the key words for me in these verses is in verse 8 when he says how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. That word for affection is actually a Greek word that means down in the gut. The literal word is the intestines. So I feel it for you guys down in my intestines. Like it comes from deep inside of me, this affection I have for you. That's how much I'm longing for you. And when I say the word in Greek, you'll get it. It's the word splachna. I mean, go ahead and try to say that with me. Splachna. There's so many consonants put together, very few vowels. It's just a bunch of like, you know, that comes. It's from my gut. That's the word that Paul uses for how he's longing for them. And I love that because he's describing this bond that he's had with them. Is he's prayed for them and they've partnered together. And he has this assurance that he sees what God's doing in them. And then it also carries with it all these memories that Paul has that I described last week and from Acts 16. And I was telling you the story of how the Philippian church got started in the first place. Paul had a vision from God about a man from Macedonia saying, "Hey, come over and help us." And Paul left where he was trying to share the gospel and completely he took a ship and went to a new area. And the first town he went to was Philippi here in the region of Macedonia. It was a God sort of call that got him there. And then Lydia was the first convert to Christ as Paul and his team was sharing the gospel. And she ended up being this businesswoman, and she opened up her household to be the place where they were able to have lodging and really do the work of building a church there. And people were coming to faith in Christ. And then there was this time where Paul and Silas were beaten and arrested and put in jail. But God sent an earthquake in the middle of the night. And it was all for the purpose of the jailer coming to faith in Christ. And so he and his whole family end up putting their faith in Christ. And Paul's looking back on it going, man, only God could have done that. And I'm just, guys, I love you so much. And I miss you all. And I'm so thankful for the partnership that we have together. That's what he's saying. You add it all together and there is a joyful bond and partnership in the gospel that they had together. So what does that mean for us? And I've been thinking about it this week. I've got really three questions I want you to think about with me as we kind of apply all of this together. First is, do you love our church family like this? I mean, it's been a hard year with COVID, not being able to meet together like we would want to. And in some ways, we feel disconnected. We feel like we're drifting a little bit. But maybe as we're hearing God's word today, would it stir in you the affection of love for our church family again? And if it's not just coming easy to us, then maybe God would stir us to go and rekindle this and take the initiative to love one another. You know, he's reminded me of that kind of affection this week, as many of you have taken very tangible steps to reach out to my family as we're dealing with COVID-19. I've gotten emails and texts and phone calls. I've gotten them, Lisette's gotten them from you saying, "Hey, we're praying for you guys. Hey, how are you doing this week? Is there anything we can do for you? Just let us know." Some people even took the initiative to say, "Hey, we're going to bring dinner by tonight." Or one family brought us a whole quarantine survival kit. Just kind of blew our minds of like, wow, thank you so much. There's a bond we have. We love each other. Do you love the church? There's a koinonia partnership we have together because we have served together, because we've worshiped Jesus together, because of all that he's done in the past. And so as God lays it in your heart, let me remind you of the challenge I gave you earlier to be praying. Grab the director, just think of some names and pray for people and take the step to reach out to some people this week. Express that love to one another. It will honor Christ as we do that. A second question is this. Do we love Christians in other locations like this? And I ask this question because it kind of comes out of the missional partnership that Paul and Philippi had. He was the missionary, the apostle. Philippi was the church plant. And there was this kind of regional, missional aspect to this. Paul wasn't just their pastor. He was a missionary trying to reach all these other places. And the Philippians partnered in that with Paul because they loved the other people enough. The people of Thessalonica, the people of Jerusalem, the people of Rome, enough that they would help Paul in this mission to get it all done, to get the gospel out to them. And so do you have a connection in your heart with other areas where the gospel needs to get to? I'm thinking of, you know, like we mentioned earlier, the Life Choices Clinic in Harrisburg, and some of you served there, and you have this team that you've ministered with, and that's awesome. You love those people, and you love the young mothers that you're ministering to and counseling with. How about as we think of church plants in the area, maybe the Heart of Harrisburg, which is now called the Rock Church, and maybe you have that having spent time there with them and prayed for them. Well, do you love them in a way that you'd want to think of, hey, I need to pray for them this week. What can I do right now to encourage them, maybe pray for them, and or send a message to Pastor Joshua and say, hey, I've prayed for you this week. And or maybe even send a gift to them. Maybe it's from some of the missional partnerships we have as a church overseas with the O'Connors in Gabon, West Africa, or to the Copelands in Cambodia, or Bruce and Stephanie Beers who serve in Uruguay. And pray for them and jot them a note and say, hey, I prayed for you this week. And maybe send a gift to their team that helps them move forward. Do we love Christians in other areas of the world in this through this lens of missional partnership that we have in seeing the gospel go forward? What can we do to strengthen those relationships? And lastly, a third question is this. Are we the kind of people who would be lovable like the Philippians? This is probably a harder question. It's a little more introspective. That's a bit of an odd question. But Paul really loved the Philippian church, like really loved them. And I suspect that it was partly because they were so easy to love. Yes, Paul loved all of the churches that he spent time with, but some of them were more difficult than others. Like in Corinth, he loved those people, but they had a lot of messed up stuff going on. The Philippians were mostly, and they weren't perfect, but mostly a really good church. They had partnered with Paul. They had sacrificed right from the very beginning. Their faith was evident. They just seemed to get it. They were so receptive to Christ and the gospel. They were thoughtful. They were personable. Had a big kingdom view that the gospel needed to get to all parts of the world. Are we a church like that? Where if Paul spent some time with us, like 3 months, like he had done with the Philippians, would he be writing us a letter saying, man, I long for you guys. The affection down in my gut is just like, man, I want to hang out with those guys again. I just want to see you again and encourage you. Or are we selfish and narrow-viewed when it comes to the kingdom of God? Or do we just get stuck in conflicts? Or what kind of church are we? Are we a lovable church? And it really comes down to all of us choosing to live a life that honors Christ, that chooses love, that gets behind the mission of God. Let's be those kind of people that as we seek to reach Mechanicsburg and all of the West Shore, we also want to reach all of Central PA. We want to reach the ends of the earth. That we're a kind of people that we could love one another in a kingdom partnership. We'd have a bond with one another and with others who are serving Christ around the world. Emmanuel Church, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we see this example in your word, and we want to be drawn to it today by your Holy Spirit. We pray that we would be a church that prays for one another, that partners together, that stands on the assurance of your work being completed in us, and that we long for each other with the affection of Christ. Lord, we pray that you will make us a church like this, and that as we have talked about these questions, we would love one another, we'd love Christians in other places, and we would be the kind of people who are lovable in this as well. That there would be kingdom values in how we choose to live, yes, even this week, that we would reach out to one another, that we would pray for one another, that we would serve one another, that we would encourage the other missional partnerships that we have in other places around the state of Pennsylvania and around the world. Lord, be glorified in us. And as we come up even to our missions conference that's going to happen in a few weeks in February, we know that we'll have Bruce and Stephanie Beers with us from Uruguay. We'll have Candy Lay with us from Cambodia. These are great opportunities to renew that partnership and to encourage them as they come and visit with us. Make us that church that's always looking beyond ourselves as to who needs the gospel and who needs to be encouraged, who needs to be lifted up. Use us as a church like that, as you have done so in the past. We want to continue to be that in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you, and may He bring this word to fruition in our lives. We'll see you later.